Wow.
Like a professor who's an expert in ancient Athens.
Wow. Educational.
Yeah, and they have a list of like 30 books.
Yeah,
that you're supposed to read.
Okay. Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Sally Shannon.
Here.
Heather Danforth. Eric Ferguson.
Here.
Kathleen Hatcher. Michael Howell.
Here.
Jane Matthews.
Here.
Fadi Nassar.
Here.
Michael Owens. Olga Puerto.
Here.
Brian Ruscher.
Here.
Bob Sabin.
Here.
Stephanie Thabon.
Here.
Larry Wallace. We have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Great, thank you. Can I get a motion to adopt the agenda for December 5th, 2019? Are there any changes or at all?
Move adoption.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
No discussion.
No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Okay. Approved.
Oh, wait, with the agenda, now we're going to do the minutes.
Okay, and now can I get a motion to approve the minutes for October 3rd? Wait, a motion to approve the minutes for October 3rd, 2019?
I have a change on page 8.
Please speak into the mic.
I know it's new and different.
I have a change on page 8. I was actually absent, and it shows that I voted. So that my alternate was here, Casey Printon.
Okay.
So,
okay, I'll look at it. But if she was here, was it marked that she was present?
For the rest of the meeting, but it doesn't show that she voted.
Okay, so in the following, I can open it, but in the following of the minutes, it should note when she joined the meeting. And then,
it should note when she joined the meeting and then when she would have been eligible to start voting. But I will go and correct it to make sure that's accurate. To when she joined the meeting and then started voting for that.
Well, because she started voting many items before that. This item 2B.
Okay.
And it shows that I voted and I wasn't here.
Oh, and not her. Okay, I will make that correction. Thank you.
Okay.
At the same point, it has me down here as absent, and I was there the whole meeting, so.
And also, if I could interject here, I was not at the meeting. David Wallach was my alternate, and he was at the meeting. And I don't have the minutes in front of me, but in the first couple of boxes where it shows the votes, you have David's name. A little later, you have my name that I voted. So just to clean that up, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
So there's adjustments for three voting members in the particular items near the end. So can we get, is there any other changes at all? No? Okay, can we get a motion to adopt with the changing of the three voting members in the minutes?
So moved.
Second. Okay, any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, great, thank you. Okay, I don't really have any comments today, just happy holidays to everyone, and I hope everyone made it safe here, and welcome to West Palm Beach. So then we move on to the liaison's report. Valerie?
All right, welcome everyone to our new space. We're still getting settled. It's been a little bit of a whirlwind the last month, but we've been here now for a couple of weeks, and still figuring out all the logistics, getting things fixed and stuff, but at least the AC's working, and we're here, we have a screen, so we're really happy to be here in a walkable and bikeable environment. For the liaison report, I'm going to highlight a couple things. So our board meeting is going to be at Royal Palm Beach on December 12th next week. That's our last rolling board meeting. After that, they will be here starting in February. We don't have any meetings in January, committee or boards. We are holding a Vision Zero workshop next week on Friday. We're going to have Leah Shahoon, who's the founder and director of the Vision Zero Network, here on Friday. And the purpose of this workshop, in line and follow-up and in line with our Vision Zero action plan, is to really encourage our local governments to get on board with Vision Zero and show them what they can do and how we can all work together to make Palm Beach County a safer place for all of our transportation users. So we encourage you to register for that this week if you haven't already. The SunTrail program is still accepting applications until December 20th. The Safe Street Summit, the last day to register is December 15th. This is the summit that we organized with the Broward MPO, Miami-Dade MPO, TPO. We're going to be hosting it in Fort Lauderdale on February 7th. The main day is the conference, and the day before, there'll be mobile workshops there. So we really encourage you all to attend if you're able to. There is a challenge going on, a social media challenge going on right now, December 4th through 12th. If you share what your vision of a safe street is and hashtag Safe Street Summit, then you could be entered to win a free entry to the summit. So encourage you to do that. And we have our TA and LI grant programs open for applications right now. The deadline is February 28th. As a reminder, we are requiring pre-application meetings this year, so if you haven't scheduled one with TPA and FDOT staff, please reach out. And I think that's the main highlights I wanted to mention in the liaison report.
Okay, great. Thank you, Valerie. So we'll go on to item F, general public comments and public comments on the agenda items. Any members from the public wishing to speak at this meeting must complete a comment card available at the welcome table. General public comments will be heard prior to the consideration of the first action item. Public comments on specific items on the agenda will be heard following the presentation of the item to the committee. Please limit comments to 3 minutes. We have one comment by the public. Angela Biaggi, she is here to represent the Congress of New Urbanism. Welcome, Angela.
Hi, good morning. Angela Biaggi, as Heather mentioned, I'm here today to represent the Congress for the New Urbanism. This organization's goal is to create vibrant and walkable cities, towns, and neighborhoods where we have a diversity of choices in how we can work, shop, and get around. We share the belief that the built environment has a direct impact on our happiness and our prosperity. This national organization has been around since the late 90s, and they've been involved in projects in Florida such as Seaside, Celebration, and Baldwin Park. We recently just established... We just established a local chapter here called CNU of the Palm Beaches, of which I'm a board member, and Heather Danforth is also the vice president on the board. And our goal for this local chapter is to educate, network, and to provide accurate information and best practices throughout the community from grassroots effort all the way up to our policymakers. We have six different focus areas that locally we're focusing on. This includes diversity of housing choices, transportation and mobility, planning, legislation, and policy, resiliency, complete streets design, and building design. We already hosted our first event, which was in Abacoa. Town of Jupiter was gracious enough to partner with us on that. And we have a second event coming up in the city of Delray after the first of the year. Our membership right now is pretty diverse. We've got landscape architects, planners, transit, transportation planners and engineers, elected officials, policymakers, and just local citizens. So we're looking for additional volunteers and members. We'd like to partner with organizations such as yourself. And so if you're interested in joining or becoming more involved, you can reach out to either myself or Heather and send you more information. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Angela. Okay, now we'll move on to action items. Item 2A is a motion to elect the officers of the 2020 calendar year. The bylaws stipulate that the committee shall, by a majority vote of the voting members present, elect a chair and vice chair annually at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the calendar year. The newly elected officers shall take office at the first regularly scheduled meeting of the following calendar year and shall serve for 1 year. Mrs. Heather Danforth is the current chair, and Ms. Jean Matthews is the current vice chair, in case no one knew. Okay. So let's get a motion to elect some officers.
I'd like to elect Eric as chair.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? I would like if Eric was chair as well. Okay, you want to take a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, perfect. Oh, wait, you accept it?
Yes,
okay.
I accept.
Minor detail.
Perfect, yeah, minor detail, sorry.
Minor.
He looks excited. Okay, so a vice chair, would somebody like to nominate a vice chair?
I nominate Heather Danforth as vice chair.
I decline. Oh.
Well, I was going to nominate you, too.
Never mind.
Stephanie, are you interested in vice chair?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So you accept the nomination, Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay. And
do you need a second?
Yes.
A second?
Second.
We don't need seconds.
Okay, good. Thanks. Yes. Okay. Any discussions? No? Okay. Let's take a vote. Okay. All in favor of Stephanie Vernborn, vice chair? Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay.
There we go.
Way to go.
Perfect.
Good job.
Done.
Yay.
Congratulations, guys.
We're happy kids.
Well, what happened?
We've been going back and forth for years.
I know.
What are we going to do?
I'm for new blood.
Okay, so now we'll go to item 2B, a motion to recommend adoption of the 2045 Long-Range Transportation Plan, the LRTP. The 2045 LRTP provides a strategic 25 outlook that leads investment and decision-making to implement the TPA's vision for safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. The TPA must adopt a major update of the LRTP at least every 5 years to be eligible for federal and state funds. The final executive summary is attached, and the full draft is available at www.palmbeachtpa.org/LRTP. And Stuart Robertson from Kimley Horn & Associates will present this item.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the BTPAC, my name is Stuart Robertson with Kimley Horn. We have served as consultant to Palm Beach TPA staff in collaboratively preparing the LRTP update. And as Heather so eloquently stated, the LRTP is required to be updated every 5 years by federal guidelines. And it is the strategic 25-year outlook for transportation investment in Palm Beach County. It is required to include all federal transportation spending, as well as state and major local investment in transportation capacity building as well. The program includes a list of TPA priority projects as well as FDOT's projects on the strategic intermodal system and major county transportation investments as well. The LRTP is part of and consistent with the TPA's mission to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund the transportation system, and also is intended to implement the vision of the TPA, which is a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. We have had a variety of presentations throughout the development of the project. Many of you may remember presentations at previous BTPAC meetings that either I or the TPA staff have given. These have included major milestones such as the goals and objectives back in March of this year, the draft of the desires plan in May, revenue forecast in June, the draft of the cost feasible plan in July, scenario planning in September, and then back at your October meeting, a draft of the full plan. Since then, there has been a public workshop, which was held on October 21st at the Vista Center, as well as a governing board meeting, which was in the form of a workshop on November 15th in Wellington. So if you look through the executive summary, which is included in the agenda packet, I'll just sort of orient you with how it's developed. The section called Where Are We Now is the existing conditions analysis, and this includes both demographic information as well as transportation facility data. So Palm Beach County has a population of 1.43 million residents, and when combined with the remainder of our Southeast Florida urbanized area, we are the seventh largest metropolitan area in the county, in the country. The Palm Beach County continues to be a major destination and is growing, in fact, for employment as well as visitors. In fact, more people now commute into Palm Beach County for work than Palm Beach County residents that commute out of the county for work. So we are growing as an employment hub. We have a map series that includes existing transportation facilities to form our base, an example of which is shown here, which is the existing transit services map, which now includes the Brightline service, the yellow line that you see here along the coast, as well as the existing Tri-Rail system and Palmtran bus routes. The section in the report called Where Are We Going? Is essentially our future conditions analysis, and of course this includes our expected growth within the county, both by the 2030 time frame, which is the short range horizon, and the 2045 time frame, which is the long range horizon of the LRTP. So by 2045, Palm Beach County will have 1.8 million residents and almost 1 million total employment within the county. This map shows the density of where that growth is expected to occur by 2045. This slide shows an example of one of the analytical tools that we developed. In particular, it is an active transportation propensity map. So areas of red and orange color on this map are the locations within the county that show a higher propensity for walking and riding a bicycle based on a variety of different factors, including where people live, work, play, learn, and access transit. And we use this analytical tool to help to prioritize projects later on within the LRTP. Now, we didn't just look on the demand side, but we also looked on the supply side of the transportation network as well. And for the walking and biking network, one of the things that we did for analytics was to conduct a level of traffic stress analysis, or LTS analysis, which represents a user's estimated level of comfort when using the transportation system for walking and bicycling. So essentially, a lower score on this map would result in a green yellow line, and these are facilities that are more comfortable for people that walk or bicycle, and then the red lines are facilities that are less comfortable for people walking or riding a bicycle. And a less comfortable facility tends to be one where there's very little or no separation between the sidewalk bicycle facility and the roadway, and or high speeds on the roadway, high traffic volumes, high truck volumes, things like that. All are factors that play into a worse level of stress analysis. And this analysis was used to help justify a recommendation for separated bicycle facilities as the preferred facility type of the TPA's LRTP. In terms of public engagement, there were a variety of different tools that we used to gather input from the public, one of which was an online survey, which received 2,960 responses. And we also held a series of intercept events around the community, such as at community gatherings, festivals, transit stations. And this was based on the methodology of going out to where people are, rather than just expecting that they would come to us for a public meeting. And then finally, the public workshop open house in October, once we had the draft of the full plan already prepared, we conducted that workshop for folks to view the key elements of the plan in October. This infographic, which is included in the report, shows some of the highlights of the results of the public survey And one of the things I wanted to draw your attention to that I think is interesting, the graphic in the upper right-hand corner is the results of the question that we asked. If someone had a hypothetical $100 to spend on transportation investment in Palm Beach County, how would they choose to divvy up that $100 amongst a variety of categories of transportation investments? And the results show that the survey respondents are expecting us to allocate resources to various types of transportation modes and not just focus on one or two modes more than the other. And you can see the results. Transit and roadway capacity improvements were the top two in the average responses, both at around $25 out of the 100. Technology-based projects scored just below that with 22. And pedestrian and bicycle projects had 13 and 15, respectively. One of the things that's interesting is that if you look at the funding sources that are available for these type of investments, transportation and investments in walking and bicycling tend to be from the same funding sources. So you can almost think of those two together, and it puts them on par with transit and roadway capacity when combining them together. But overall, no matter how you read it, there's definitely an expectation of a balanced approach to transportation investment based on the results of the survey. The goals and objectives were set up to reflect the TPA's vision, and you see the five goals across the top banner of this particular slide. Within each goal, we have specific objectives that are statements of how the TPA intends to meet these goals. And within each objective, a performance metric was established in order to understand how we will be measuring our progress toward these objectives in the future. We've also included target values within the LRTP for the 2030 time frame, as well as the 2045 time frame, for where we want to be on the various performance measures for things such as the percentage of folks walking and bicycling, daily fuel use, all these types of performance measures have metrics and targets associated with them. So moving into the desires projects, the desires plan is the unconstrained list of transportation desires that address a specific deficiency that has been identified for a transportation demand. It is unconstrained in the sense that we haven't yet applied the revenue forecast to the project. So some of our projects in the desires plan may not be financially feasible once we get to the revenue forecast. But it does include all pedestrian, bicycle, transit, and roadway projects that are identified to specifically address a deficiency. And there are a series of maps for the desires plan by mode. And we'll start with the sidewalk and bicycle network. The pedestrian and bicycle tier one and tier two priority networks were identified based on the active transportation demand analysis, as well as the level of traffic stress results. The pedestrian priority network, which is the map on the left of this particular slide, focuses on missing sidewalk gaps and includes a tier one list, which are missing sidewalk gaps within the areas of highest active transportation demand, again, applying that transportation demand analysis, and the tier two sidewalk gaps are all other sidewalk gaps. For the bicycle priority network, the methodology is a little different. The bicycle priority network identified a connected network of separated bicycle facilities, with tier one being in those areas of highest demand and tier two being all other facilities. In some cases, the bicycle facilities may exist on some of these roadways, but if they were not yet identified as separated bicycle facilities, we included it in the network in order to reflect the need to upgrade standard bicycle facilities to separated. The next slide includes the maps for transit and roadway. So using the active transportation demand analysis results, along with PalmTrans current high ridership results for their PalmTrans current transit system, as well as the 2045 demographic projections, we identified a series of enhanced transit corridors, included those on the Desires plan. So on the map, you can see the green lines represent the rail transit network. The existing tri-rail line is shown in dark green with a one-station extension to the northwest, to Blue Heron Boulevard. And you also see the lighter green line, which is the Tri-Rail Coastal Link or passenger rail service along the FEC corridor, all the way up to northern Palm Beach County, all the way up to the town of Jupiter. There are also three additional enhanced transit corridors in the north-south direction and six in the east-west direction on major arterials. So together, there are five north-south corridors, six east-west corridors that go together to create one connected transit system. So the TPA has adopted the 561 transit plan for a future transit vision for Palm Beach County. And the roadway network, finally. The roadway network was identified based on a variety of different sources. First, there's the FDOT Strategic Intermodal System, or SIS, investment plan. Also, we looked at Florida's Turnpike's investment plan as well. We identified capacity projects on other state roadways identified for use of TPA prioritization funding. And finally, Palm Beach County roadway capacity projects. And all of these projects were identified and based on traffic deficiencies that are expected to occur in the future. And the colors you see basically are based on the source, or you could think of it potentially as the funding source for those projects. The red color being the TPA funded priority projects, the green being the FDOT strategic intermodal system, and the blue being the county projects. So now we'll talk about dollars, because dollars are what is the major source for obviously looking at what would be the financially feasible projects in the future. The TPA conducted revenue projections that were developed based on a thorough review of historic funding allocation trends and the current practice of how these funds are spent. So looking back at the last several rounds of work programs and LRTPs that were in place in the past, and identifying how much of that funding that had been anticipated to be available by the LRTP actually went into the work programs. And so based on that historical trend analysis, we feel that a very reliable funding projections have been made for this LRTP in terms of what we think we'll have available to spend throughout. The financial forecast is also organized based on funding source, the three major funding sources, the TPA prioritization of federal and state dollars, FDOT's prioritization, which is the strategic intermodal system and the turnpike, and finally Palm Beach County's prioritization. For the projects in this category tend to come mostly from the Palm Beach County Road Program, road impact fee being the major source of funding there. So starting with TPA prioritization, one thing I want to call your attention to, TPA projects on state roadways, a total of $853 million is identified throughout the life of the plan. And of this $853 million, I want to call your attention to these tables in the executive summary, which identifies a line item by line item approach of how each of the funds would be spent. So out of the $853 million for TPA prioritization, over 500,000 of that is going to a new proposed funding program called State Road Modifications. And the purpose of this is to identify transportation improvements on state roadways other than traditional roadway widening and capacity enhancements in order to improve mobility for all users through programs such as safety, ITS improvements, which is now called TSMNO, Transportation Systems Management and Operations. Complete Streets is also part of the state road modification. So well over half of the TPA's prioritized dollars for projects on other state roadways, non-CIS state roadways, will go toward the state road modifications program. In addition, the local initiatives program and transportation alternatives, which Valerie mentioned earlier, is a competitive application-based process that local governments can apply for TPA funding. Many of these projects end up being complete street projects or investments that improve the walking and bicycling network off the state highway system on local roadways. So many of the projects that are implemented through the $600 million of local initiatives or the $80 million of transportation alternatives also go toward bicycle and pedestrian improvements. So the TPA is committing through its portion of the LRTP a very strong commitment to achieving a system where complete streets are prioritized within this LRTP. On the FDOT prioritization, the majority of the strategic intermodal system investment is on I-95. Of course, I-95 pedestrian and bicyclists are prohibited from using, but this includes essentially a reconstruction of many portions of I-95 to include managed lanes within the horizon of the LRTP, and the turnpike as well. You see a significant amount of investment there that includes widening and, in many cases, adding managed lanes to the turnpike. And finally, you see the Palm Beach County prioritization, which, as I mentioned, includes select projects from the county's list of projects which were identified based on having the highest projected congestion levels in the future. So the cost-feasible plan is created from joining that list of desires that I presented earlier with the funding projections for financial resources anticipated to be available throughout the life of the project. And I have a series of maps to illustrate the cost-feasible plan, the first of which shows projects that have funding for construction within the 2045 horizon of the LRTP. This includes the local initiatives and TIA programs, as well as the state road modification. Well, I should say, the map doesn't include it, but I want you to make sure that you understand that these programs are part of the LRTP. It's just we don't know what projects are going to be applied for in the future over the next 25 years, so we don't know, we don't have them on the map. But we do show the TPA major projects for roadway investment, that being the State Route 7 extension project, the Atlantic Avenue project, and the US 27 connector and Hooper Highway widening. Now, projects that are that have funding for studies assigned within the LRTP primarily includes the 561 transit plan. So individual multimodal corridor studies will be conducted for each one of the corridors in the 561 transit plan. Many of you may remember the US 1 multimodal corridor study that was conducted by the TPA in 2017 and adopted by the governing board in 2018. Similar to that, the transit investments on these corridors will be identified in a more specific way as part of these studies. It also includes the ongoing studies related to Tri-Rail Coastal Link and continuing to try to identify a funding source primarily for operating the operations and maintenance of Tri-Rail Coastal Link, as well as to obtain easements and trackage rights for a public passenger rail service along the FEC corridor. And finally, the Southern Boulevard capacity project. At this time, we feel that the future direction of the State Road 80 capacity investment is not yet well defined enough to include construction funding within our recommendation to the TPA Governing Board, and so the TPA is choosing to include the PD&E study as part of the LRTP, and based on whatever the outcome of that PD&E study will be, to go from there in terms of deciding how to reflect that within the LRTP, potentially through an amendment. So you see here the state road 80 capacity enhancement from Royal Palm Boulevard to I-95 included as on the study map rather than on the construction map. So I have a three slide series that kind of sum up what it will mean to endorse the LRTP, essentially just summarizing the various priorities by agency. First up, the funding through the TPA prioritization money. The three roadway corridor investments that I mentioned are listed here. The three annual funding programs, local initiatives and transportation alternatives, which are pre-existing programs that we're recommending to continue to exist. And the state road modifications program, which as I mentioned is actually going to become the bulk of the dollars that are identified within the LRTP for those type of modifications on state roads. And you can see here we've listed the type of improvements that we anticipate to be eligible for state road modifications, including complete streets and other types of technology-based improvements as well. And then also studies for the 561 transit plan enhanced transit corridors. For the FDOT priorities, this is where we primarily see those strategic intermodal system projects. And if you're interested in the details, you can see here on this slide the various sections of I-95 widening as well as adding managed lanes. Similar for the turnpike, several sections of widening and managed lanes included on the turnpike. There are some other SIS improvements as well, such as State Road 710, widening to six lanes from Blue Heron Boulevard to North Lake, and a modified at-grade intersection at North Lake Boulevard. Freight capacity enhancements along US 27. And then on the State Road 80 corridor, there is a widening project to eight lanes from Binks Forest Drive to Royal Palm Beach Boulevard, and that study that I mentioned from Royal Palm Beach Boulevard to I-95. Finally, interchange modifications at State Road 80 and State Road 7 are identified in the SIS plan as well. And then finally, on the county list, the endorsing the LRTP would express support by the TPA for 90 of the 118 requested county projects. And again, this is based on the ones that have shown or demonstrated through our deficiencies analysis to have the highest level of congestion. And this would be 13 new roadway segments, 64 roadway widening projects, and 13 larger intersection modifications. There's also a line item for smaller intersection projects as well. And so the TPA is including 90 of the 118 projects originally requested by the county. And that wraps up my presentation. I would be happy to address any questions or comments that you may have related to the LRT.
Thank you, Stuart. Are we going to accept comments from the public now or after we're done with discussion?
We can do them now.
Okay. Great. Do we have any comments from the public regarding this item? No? Okay. Okay, great. Then we'll, and please stay and we'll ask some questions. Thank you. I just want to make sure that we were following the procedures that are in here. Okay, great. Thank you. So a question by Sally, please.
Okay. First of all, I apologize for not having spent more time and got back to you, but there are corrections needed on the map of existing greenways and shared use paths. They're shown as a greenway, a segment that completes essentially a loop in Palm Beach Gardens, which is paved, and then shown as a greenway, which would be that's not equivalent as going across and making a connection between the glades and then coming back towards Beeline. That's basically a hiking trail. It's not really a greenway connection.
guess it may depend on how the term greenway is defined in the data.
Okay, can you go back to that? Seems like it was maybe page 17 or something like that. Let me see if I can find it real quick on my... Okay, whoops. Yeah, I think it's that one that says pedestrian and then... okay, go back, wider, see down here where you have wider paths, and then...
Yeah, it's in the executive summary.
Right, okay. So it shows, if you zoom in to the area of PGA and the B line, okay, so it shows a tiny little piece that's marked in the pink as shared use path down there at North Lake and Beeline. That segment there between PGA and
North Lake?
And North Lake is a shared use path.
This?
Yeah. Okay, but between there, if you just run your cursor up to PGA, there's a following the line that's marked as a greenway. That's a shared use path. That's a 10 to 12 foot wide path. So there's almost a complete loop around the gardens. There's actually an undesignated bike lane and a sidewalk that run along North Lake. So there's almost a complete loop there that connects then with the shared use path parallel to PGA. And then the line that's showing the greenway that kind of runs, makes this sort of looping thing going all the way out to the glades.
This one?
The part that's very angular is an actual greenway, but the part that you see where it's kind of squealing, that's a... okay, that portion is a greenway. That's an unpaved path. That's a shared use path. But that squiggly line is basically a hiking trail, and depending on right, and then it goes swings and shows it going all the way out to the glades. If you were to include that, we have tons of trails that are some even that go into neighborhoods within the area east of 95 that would qualify then as being shown as a greenway. But that is exclusively a hiking trail. And it, depending on conditions, you can be just in a little bit of mud or kind of literally up to your DEA and alligators. So it's not the equivalent of the other that's shown as a greenway.
See? Okay. So we can update the base data to reflect the comments that you are mentioning for consideration. I think in particular, we would want to update if there is a paved path surface.
There's a paved path that's 10 to 12 feet wide,
yeah,
that connects that. So you actually almost have a loop in that North Lake has a very broad sidewalk and then an undesignated bike lane parallel to it.
Is it... So it's paved at least 8 feet or 10 feet?
It is 10 to 12 feet wide.
That entire section, okay. Most of these lines are the greenways lines and are from the greenways and trails plan that we did, but that was a couple of years ago, so that's...
Right, and it shows that, hiking trail. It'd be really nice if there were something that were usable and usable by... But it's misleading to suggest that there's
Is your recommendation to remove that, the squiggly line, because it's...
Yeah, the squiggly line and then the part that, that runs from basically where you leave the part that's nice and angular, that's following unpaved but improved trail.
This line right here?
Yeah, that line right there is, that's a hiking trail.
And you say that it's less than some of the other brown lines on this map?
If you're considering hiking in knee-deep water, less than being on a shell rock path, yes. And the same is true of that entire line that swings, go to the west just so, okay, yeah, that whole thing is a designated hiking trail that's really, parts of it are only open to through hikers on the Ocean to Lake Trail. So there isn't even a legal access to get through those properties that are shown as connected. So it should come off when it is showing as something that's an existing.
So you're recommending we remove this entire line here?
Yeah, we have maps and we have GIS data that will show that what should come off.
So you guys coordinate with Sally for the updated lines for the greenways? Okay, Sally? Will you coordinate with them for the GIS lines?
Yes.
Make sure they're updated?
Yeah, they probably have the GIS stuff. I think that's when Fran was here. And there are some, there's data that goes with each one of those segments that will tell you where it's the hiking only, and that's the part that's not really fair to show as if we have an existing, it would be very nice to have one, but as if we have an existing greenway, because there's not really any legal connection to go through there unless you're hiking.
Okay, great, thank you. Are there other questions for Stuart? Yes, Jane?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
It's one of the first pages, like maybe page 3, expected growth. It says in 2030 we're going to have 220 additional people, but it's a little confusing on your presentation because in 2045 we're going to have 175, so there's going to be 175 that come in the 15 years between 2030 and 2045. I was just thinking if you're presenting this elsewhere, there might be a clarification. Whoops, back that one. So between now, 2020 and 2030, then 10 years we're going to get 220, and then the additional 15 years we're going to get 175. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I just think...
Between 2031 and 2045 might be a better way of saying that.
Okay.
Slide.
Thank you. And then...
And by 2031.
Okay. And then I want to go back to the financial forecast. It's towards the end, and the TPA spending money. I want to understand, I'm excited that the TPA is going to be spending money on state road projects to add bike ped facilities where possible. Would then we coordinate with FDOT, with the state? I guess FDOT. Would we coordinate on FDOT if they're doing a road, and we would throw in money and say, hey, do a shared use path? Is that how that would work?
Yeah.
I think, that would be one of the ways that state road modifications could materialize. There could potentially even be standalone projects to help implement the pedestrian and bicycle priority networks that are identified in the desires plan.
Okay, but we would check and see what the law was, and when FDOT was required to provide them by law, they would do it, and when it was above and beyond, we would spend the money.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, other questions? Eric?
I had a question on the cost feasible plan. I believe it's page, the map, page 24, I think. Slide 30, not too many, or it's got a 35 in the bottom. The roadway widening projects. If you could scroll down, zoom in on Boca Raton at the bottom of the map. I'm curious about, in the blue represents the county road widening projects, if I'm reading the legend correctly. So has there been coordination between the city's comprehensive plan and the county's cost-feasible road projects in preparing these maps?
This map is based on congestion analysis. The county projects that were recommended to us by county staff. So essentially a volume and capacity ratio comparison for those projects is how the Palmetto Park Road corridor was identified for this map.
Okay, but my question was, has there been coordination between the city's comprehensive plan elements and this map?
No.
Okay. Okay, it's very far from here, but I believe that's not consistent with our comprehensive, the city of Boca Raton's comprehensive plan. It's either 6 or 8 planning. And north of that red square, that part of Dixie, do you know what that's being widened from and to? Because I think that's already 4-lane divided if it's Dixie. That little short section of blue?
I think that's a 2-to-3-lane, if I remember correctly.
I think it's 4 lanes with kind of a suicide lane in the middle.
Yeah, you have to get pretty further north, it becomes 3-lane, but yeah, almost outside the city. Yeah, it's hard to tell on the map.
Well, you see highway from Yamato to Linton
is 2 lanes. I drive that all the time.
Okay. Why than 2-to-3 lanes?
But you're right, the areas identified are very congested.
2-3-3-5, Glades to 20th, 4-6.
Is that what?
Yeah, Old Dixie Highway from Glades to 20th, Northeast 20th Street, 4-to-6 lanes, and then Yamato to Linton goes from 2-to-3, and then there's also Yamato to Linton 3-to-5. There's also Park Ave to North Lake Boulevard.
Yeah, Glades at 20th is also not consistent with our comprehensive plan. So I just want to note in the record that.
Yeah, there would definitely be something for the county that they would have to consider very heavily. If there's a project that they have submitted as one of their roadway desires that is inconsistent with a municipality's comp plan.
And what does us approving the plan today with inconsistent projects mean? Are we endorsing the county projects by approving the whole plan?
It would be expressing support essentially for projects from a roadway transportation capacity analysis based on the results of our traffic forecasting.
Okay. That's it.
You can recommend endorsement with and ask for removal of something if you'd like.
Okay. Let's see if anyone else has another one real quick just to make sure everyone has a chance to ask questions. Yes, yes, Afadi.
It's more of a comment than a question. You know, the long-range transportation plan is probably one of the most important document that's going to set the process for future spending on all kind of transportation. And, you know, as you presented traffic engineering, I think we look at it, it's very important for us to see what's project in it. Well, first of all, I think we converge with the TPA on a number of issues, you know, from improving bikeways to sidewalks to improving, you know, transit, you know, improving their frequency, their operation, their safety, their access, lighting, all of these things, I think we definitely converge with the TPA. But we have some issues with this long-range plan. I know we discussed it many meetings. We maybe reduced the conflict issues, but we still have some issues. This is related to the estimated revenues. We think that the projected revenues from impact fees and others are less than what TPA is projecting. But more importantly, I think, for us is the kind of, we like the vision to have a more multimodal system, but if you take TPA project excluding the turnpike investment and the SIS investment, only less than 10% of the money is redirected to roadway capacities. And again, while we like balanced transportation system, we think this is a bit inadequate. We also believe that you know, the future plan looks more, I mean, we want to be visionary, but it looks more into traditional premium transit, whereas if we look throughout the nation, maybe 80% of transit agencies are losing ridership, but there's a new form of ride-sharing and other stuff, interceptor parking, all kind of innovative way that may play probably a more important role than the traditional premium transit. And another point is also, you know, we know all the newer cars have more advanced technology in them, and we need to have smarter highways to interact with this technology in the cars, both smarter highways and smarter controllers, so they can two-way information transmitted between cars and the roadway, so roadway can alert cars to in a hazardous situation. The same way cars can provide information for improved improved operation, basically reducing delays. So from all of this, I think we think that we believe, you know, the kind of division for the long-range transportation plan did not account for all of these factors. And we have proposed a number of roadway projects based on capacities that were not included in the project. So basically, it is effectively inconsistent with the county comprehensive plan. While we commend TPA for their effort, I'm all for, you know, improving multimodal. I'm all for improving, you know, transportation as part of the quality of life, walkable cities, and all of this. But we still believe that we did not get to a point where, you know, we reached kind of consensus. So, again, representing the traffic department, I don't think we're going to be supporting this plan.
Okay, thank you, Fadi. Would someone else like to ask a question or have any discussion? Okay, Sally?
I had a question on page 31, which is the transit, and it shows, it's showing desired transit service, and there's a gap in the passenger rail service that would follow that eastern most path down in the Lantana and Boynton area. Is it because it's like underneath the blue, or is there a reason that that's not part of the, you know, the corridor, which would otherwise be a corridor through all of the downtown areas?
We're observing the lines are just converging because the FEC railroad is so close to US 1 at that location. But the green line is continuous. In fact, there are tick marks along each of the railroad lines. That's the symbology that we use, and you can see the tick marks sticking out from under the blue line.
Oh, okay. So it's covered up. Yeah. In other words, it's not that there's a gap. Okay.
Okay, another question, Jean. Can you tell me what improvements are planned for US 27 Connector and Hooker Highway?
US 27 Connector would be a new roadway that would go between US 27 west of Belgrade and Hooker Highway, and it would include a short segment of widening along Hooker Highway as well.
And can we see that on a map, and why? What is the nexus for that proposed improvement? So it's the red?
Yes, that red line. That's to facilitate truck movement in the Belvoir area, is it not, Andrew?
Yes, so this one actually wasn't put in there based on a volume capacity analysis. This was a priority from communities for more of an economic development perspective. So out there, there's a potential site for a freight hub, and I think it's the Florida Crystal site.
Correct, Nick?
Out there, and so this is more of an economic development project than a volume capacity or congestion issue.
Okay.
So that's what's spurring this project. And I believe we're going to be studying it soon, in the next coming years, for its potential.
Well, and it connects to, if that eventually at the top of the red line goes to State Road 80, then I can't read it from here.
Yes.
Well, and that's good for us. We're presenting a white paper to the board in the next couple months to do a off-highway vehicle park at 20 Mile Bend right across from Palm Beach Aggregates. It's going to be, if the board approves it, probably a private developer, and we'll do it. But it'll be a regional draw with camping and people doing dirt bikes and stuff. And one of the things we've said is that people will be coming from Dade and Broward, and they'll come up 27, and then they'll go east. So from our perspective, it'll help people get to the park.
Good. Okay, great. And Stephanie has a question as well. On the transit map, the future, in the northern portion by Jupiter, I had a question. I thought that there was a discussion with PalmTran about them extending their loop around you have a loop that goes south on Central, but I recall that we have had discussions with PalmTran, and I don't know if they shared any of that with you about bringing that loop north to cover the Limestone Creek neighborhood up north of Indiantown Road. Since that area is unincorporated Palm Beach County, but it services an area that is in need. So there was discussion about bringing that loop up in the future.
Sure, and this map is only showing, for reference purposes, the existing transit, local bus transit service. We're not showing potential other desires for local bus service, but more highlighting showing the existing local bus service and tri-rail service for information purposes, but highlighting how that relates to the enhanced multimodal corridor studies that we'll be studying. So we're not showing small tweaks or details that PalmTran may be doing in the next year or couple of years or things like that, just as a baseline. This is what they have today.
So then when those items are added, then it'll be updated?
Sure, and just to remind everyone, we have an adopted LRTP right now. This is a living document that we update every 5 years. We are currently doing the major update for the current 5 year for 2045, and it was actually due to the federal government in October. We're past due and not compliant right now. The purpose of this plan is to show the big picture of our transportation needs in the future and desires and what we think will be cost feasible, but we are, for our purposes, it's what are our priorities for state and federal dollars. We have added, the county has requested about 120 additional roadway capacity projects that were not in our, that are not in our adopted LRTP. We have added all of those except for ones that our board, locally elected officials, have requested that we do not include. So I just want to mention those couple points that we are past due, and that can affect us in a very negative way in terms of what dollars are provided to us and to our communities that are state and federal.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? I do have a couple questions myself. If nobody else does, they want to wait. Okay. The first question is, Stuart, I love how you talked about divvying up, how people would divvy up a dollar. How does that relate to what we're proposing today from the TPA projects?
Well, one of the things that the TPA is trying to do is balance the fact that other agencies focus primarily on roadway capacity enhancements mm-hmm. with providing more funding for complete streets and technology-based solutions. through local initiatives, through the transportation alternatives, as well as the aforementioned state roadway modifications, which is the new program being proposed as part of this LRTP. And state road modifications does include complete streets amongst other types of projects that are envisioned, one of which the TSM&O projects, which are similar to the point that Fadi was making, that technology-based solutions are going to be important moving forward in the future. Things like roadside data collectors for better information about real-time delay and traffic conditions, and that can help better model traffic flows in the future as well. Fiber optic network conversion, things like that, are part of typical TSM&O projects. And so that, along with safety and resiliency and other of the important challenges that are going to be facing Long Beach County in the future, are part of that state road modifications program.
Okay, so you're saying the TPA prioritization is trying to balance out some of that to be more in line with what the public input was saying, yeah? Okay, good.
Yes.
Thank you. My second question is, you talk about upgrading bicycle lanes to separated. With that, is that more in line with separated bicycle lanes being on larger roads, higher speed roads, volumes like that, things like that, or generally?
Generally, but including, in particular, the higher volume roads where data and studies have shown that most folks will not choose to ride or walk on those streets due to the level of traffic stress that they face.
Awesome. Yeah, I've noted that on some smaller roads where there's not volume or speed, that it's sometimes just makes the road wider than it doesn't really need to be. So just want to make that note.
The LRTP focuses on the TPA network, which mm-hmm. is the federal aid highway network, which does tend to be the larger roadways.
The SRM, is there going to be a process for choosing projects, and are they going to be standalone projects?
Yes, so we're working through the process now. The process is a few things. So the state road modifications, of course, are on state roads. So we'll be submitting annually to FDOT along with our local initiatives and transportation alternatives priorities and our major products list, other state road modifications as well. And as we alluded to there, a lot of these products will try to take into account like the resurfacings and rehabs that are going on roadways already. So for example, FDOT in the draft tentative work program that you may have all seen last meeting, there's actually about 10 or more new resurfacing projects on state roadways. So we're going to try to get ahead of those and add additional types of safety improvements and other types of multimodal facilities or other types of improvements on those. And so we're looking at a lot of the ones that are already coming up to the pipeline when that's already going to be out there doing some reconstruction.
So is we the TPA staff?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yes. So TPA staff will be choosing them, and then who will be constructing them? Will TPA staff be
DOT?
DOT?
Yeah, everything on state roads is predominantly DOT. Correct.
Okay. And then my last note is regarding Vision Zero and it being a top priority. Just when we talk about prioritization and looking at having zero fatalities and then start looking at kind of where we're prioritizing our money, sometimes it doesn't always add up. So I just wanted to note that and make sure that we are actually working towards our Vision Zero and making sure that we are doing our best to balance out that money for all the different types of projects.
We have included scoring for that in the TA program to prioritize that. Eric, I'm not sure if we answered clearly your question earlier for that widening project from the four lanes on Old Dixie from Glades to to 20th Street, Northeast 20th. It's from four, the county's proposing from four lanes to six lanes, that section. But just as a reminder, our plan does not direct the county roadways or their funding. It's for a big picture comprehensive what the desires are in the future.
So although the city of West Palm Beach supports most of the projects in there, the one that we cannot support and we've continuously said we cannot support is State Road 7. There's we've been opposed to it for a while, and now there's legitimate environmental concerns that have been proven. Okay, any other discussions? Okay, can we get a motion?
I make a motion to adopt the recommended 2045 long range plan with the exclusion of State Road 7 being shown as a proposed roadway.
Can we get a second?
Oh, and also Sally's modifications on greenways.
Can a friendly amendment to include the removal of Palmetto Park Road and the widening of Dixie from Glades to Northeast 20th?
I'd like to amend that to take out the areas of concern for Boca Raton. In my motion.
Could I also friendly amend? Sorry. I was hoping that Eric's motion would take care of it, but there's a section of Old Dixie Highway from Yamato to Linton that needs to be modified to be consistent with Delray Beach's comprehensive plan as well.
And modify my amendment to take into Delray Beach's concerns.
Martin, you got all that? Okay.
Okay, so I have a first and a second. No second. So who would be the second with the motion with the removal of State Road 7, removal of the projects at Boca Raton is inconsistent with the comprehensive plan, and amendment to remove the projects that are inconsistent with the comprehensive plan for Delray.
And Sally's.
And adding Sally's greenways.
Second.
Okay. A second from Stephanie. Okay, any more discussion? No? Okay, let's take a vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Olga, Fadi, and Michael. Right? Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. So now we move on to...
Does the motion pass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you.
Thank you very
good
much.
Good job.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Good job. Very clear presentation.
Yeah. Now we move on to a motion to recommend adoption for Amendment Number 3 to the TPA's Financial Year 2024 Transportation Permit Program, the TIP. The Florida Department of Transportation, FDOT, has requested the following changes to FM Number 436895-897-1, Fiber Optic Communication Cable. To number one, add environmental phase in financial year 2020 in the amount of $4,700. And number two, to modify limits of the project from approximately 19.4 miles to 17.2 miles. The requested amendment is shown in a strike-through underlying format to highlight the changes from the adopted TIP in the amendment. The FDOT request letter is also attached, and Jason Price, TPA TIP coordinator, will present this item. Hi, Jason.
Well, you have presented it for me. I appreciate it. That's all the changes for the most part. So this is a TIP amendment. These modifications were an amendment due to the change of the description of the project, shortening the project, and then the addition of an environmental phase. So these types of changes trigger an amendment as opposed to a modification. It's also part of the delay of adopting the LRTP. Sometimes you have to adjust projects because of these delays. So this is part of that. So ultimately, this is a FDOT project for fiber optic cable installation, and this is the modification.
It's FDOT.
So this will be addressed, you know, this will be a modification.
County roads. So,
I'm just asking for a recommendation of approval.
Is there a map?
I did not put a map together of the project.
Is it 4,700 or is it 4,700?
4,700.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
Yeah, it's just a minor.
Yeah.
It's very minor, but it's an addition of a phase of the project. So because they're adding a whole other phase to the project, that triggers an amendment. The original moves to an administrative modification. and then there were some strike-throughs of they eliminated some sections that already had fiber optic. And so that's why they shortened it.
June, would you still like to see the map?
Yeah, there's
sure.
one.
Let's try it.
But if it's only 4,700.
We'll see how fast I can get it. So we can always highlight our interactive map.
Yeah, I mean, something less into that. Look at it.
And you know what?
You guys have a lot of. Okay. You want to go ahead and have any discussion regarding this item while we're waiting for the map? Anybody? No? Okay. We'll just wait for the map.
Just a comment or a reminder, these are the kinds of things we can't do if we're not compliant with the feds on our LRTP. So if we do not adopt the LRTP, we can't do TIP amendments or do anything really.
Unfortunately, the pop-up is not on there. But it's all the ones that are highlighted. Well, you can't see it well. Hold on.
It's okay. We don't really need to see it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Can we get a motion to adopt?
Motion to adopt.
Motion by Eric. Second by Michael. Okay. Let's. Any more discussion? Okay. Let's take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
One.
Okay. Can I just not vote? Or?
I'm sorry. Yes, Freddie.
I don't have information on this project for DOT. So.
Okay.
I don't know the impact on the county stuff, but...
Are you voting against it because you want more information?
Is it just for or against, or can I just abstain?
If you abstain, then I will need you to fill out a form, and then if there are specific reasons for you abstaining, I can pull it up.
So the full amount is like $4,000 or something?
Yeah, $4,700.
Okay, I'll vote for it.
Okay. Okay,
so I'm sorry, Heather, just to confirm, there were none opposed to that?
Correct, okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we move on to administrative items. Any member comments? Yes, Eric?
So what letter we know of the city of West Palm Beach in front of Kravis, there's probably the first elevated separated bike lane that I'm aware of in the county has been built. So it's really nice to take a look at it if you want to. It's a very short section, but it's kind of, you know, the stuff that we always see in the posters other places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one level, and it's got a divider strip between the sidewalk and the bike. It looks really nice. So if you now that you're downtown. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Len sent us yesterday. I have it on my phone.
On Okeechobee?
Yeah. I asked for it when I was there.
Like
something got my crazy comments.
Your project came to fruition.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
It looks, yeah, it was. God, they're so organized with their folders.
Oh, my Lord.
I wish yeah. I was.
Wow.
Well, it's coming up. Where is it? Where physically is it? I didn't catch all that.
It's Okeechobee. Do you know the Kravis Center? It's between Tamarind and Rosemary.
And Rosemary, yeah.
Or Sap.
Yeah, or
Sabadello.
Sabadello. Yeah, you're right.
Sabadello.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So on your way out, if you take Okeechobee, it'll be on the mm-hmm. north side.
Right by City Place.
But yeah, that's the best reference. Or Rosemary Square now. Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
I was out there yesterday and didn't see it.
See if we can zoom in, maybe.
Oh.
So, what is this?
It's,
So, Okeechobee is to the left.
Yep.
And then that's
the Kravis Center, like there's
yep.
the green glass.
Oh,
now.
I see.
Now I see.
Okay, it just looks like Plaza.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
because there's not a car next to it.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's
so
the new.
When you leave here, if you are driving a little.
That's actually a better photo.
Got it.
Wow.
Oh, there. Okay.
Oh, so it's like a sidewalk and a bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
It's kind of all the stuff we've been talking about and the stuff that the level of stress analysis has been saying we should build. Mm-hmm. It's what the Federal Highways new manual says we should be building.
Yep. So what the divider is? Is it like a line or?
It's sort of a rough paver. Like it's a paver that has a sort of rough texture. So if you're visually impaired, you'd be able to see that. Do you feel the texture difference?
And that's the divider between the pedestrians and the bicyclists. There's actually a landscape between the automobiles and the bicyclists. Yeah.
So how wide is this lane?
Well, 10 is probably the minimum. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
So it's about five each?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And we have designs for Banyan to have something similar on it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, something to think about. And I did have a quick question for Valerie, the Vision Zero workshop. Who's the intended audience? Is it city manager? Is it like elected officials or staff?
The purpose of the workshop is to educate and encourage our other local municipalities to get on board and local governments. So it would be really all the elected officials, staff, anybody who works with engineering, planning, enforcement, anybody who can help take the torch and lead it forward in our local municipalities in the county.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Any other comments?
I want to just ask on the next meeting's February 6th. Isn't that the Safe Street Summit?
Yeah, so the meeting will be in the morning, and that afternoon are mobile workshops for the Safe Street Summit. The following day is the full conference on the 7th.
Good. And the meeting will be here then?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, she's tables. I'm sorry. For the ad hoc committee that you guys had requested, I was still waiting for a couple of members to respond to me. I did recently get a response from Sally, but I do need a response from Michael.
Dates work for me.
Okay, I did. That was the last one.
I thought I responded to that.
I didn't get one from you. I think I got one from David Willock, but maybe it got mixed in there somehow. And then I will forward them to our new chair and vice chair to be a part of it as ex parte. But the meetings are looking for early January. So I'll send that out probably later this week, probably by Friday.
I apologize.
That way, no, it's okay. That way you guys have it on your calendar and you can confirm that it works for you.
Perfect. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
Okay, other comments? No? Okay, summary points from the October 17th governing board meeting. As noted.
So items B and C are in your agenda. If you want to look at it, if you have any questions, staff can answer them. But it's just for your review, so you're kept up to date on the items. We didn't have any key items to highlight. The only thing we will know is if for the 2020 meetings is that they will all be held at this location.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then just re-noting the next meeting is February 6, 2020, no January meeting. So have a great holiday, everyone. And then do we need a motion for adjournment? Or no? Nope. And then let's adjourn this meeting. Have a great afternoon, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.